You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Use this here for the sake of time, not read all of it, but for the sake of clarity, I'm going to read all of it. 2 Corinthians 11, it's only verse 23 and going down to 28. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And Paul is defending his credentials as a man of God, as an apostle, who the folks weren't respecting him. And folks were saying other people were apostles, but he really wasn't a real good apostle. And Paul says, in one place, says, I'm going to talk like a fool. I'm going to talk like somebody who feel like I got something to prove. 2 Corinthians 11, starting verse 23, he says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, King James says, fool, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. So Paul want to let y'all know, y'all think y'all got something to complain about? Let me tell you about my life. And it's kind of interesting because as an apostle and leading the church, his concern is for the people. He's concerned about them, but now he turns it around. He said, let me tell you about my life. You know, let me tell you what I'm going through. You know, people who care, I often say people, those of us who are in caring ministries, and not just caring ministries, caring professions, where we're always caring for other people, whether that's a therapist or a doctor or a nurse, sometimes an attorney, or where you're only always serving the interests of other people. You got to make sure you take care of yourself, okay? Because especially when you have a profession that people just know that's what you do, and many times because they so often know what you do that they don't think about if you ever need help. I told y'all, you know, I'm in a situation where my doctor is also one of my spiritual sons, a member of the church. And so after he checks me out and he talked about me and tells me my results of this, I said, now, doc, how you doing? And we often we'll talk about what's going on with business, what's going on with his life, what's going on with his children. And because I have a dual role there. But the average person, y'all know, when you go to the doctor, you go to the doctor because you got a need. You ain't thinking about how the doctor doing. No, I'm not blaming you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Somebody don't put your head down. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. That's just the nature of the relationship. But so Paul has to he's giving them an insight. Let me let you see what my life is like. I know I just show up here, and you just see me show up here when it's time for me to check on the church or to preach or to establish things. He said, but let me tell you what I had to go through to get here. He said, let me tell you the stuff I didn't tell you about all this years. Before I got here, I've been whipped. I faced death again and again. 5 different times, I was beat with 39 lashes. I've been shipwrecked. I was holding on the boards in the sea. You know, I've gone without food. I shivered in the cold. And then he says, on top of this, the cares of the church. And what I've called this teaching is juggling life. With the quote, I can't handle this. Because sometimes that's how you feel. You feel like I'm juggling life and I can't handle this. Come on, let's have a vulnerable moment. Has anybody ever felt that way? Okay. You know, it's like a child, you know, whether you've ever seen us or ever seen somebody do it, you know, a child come ask their mama, child, for a nickel, a quarter, a dime. I don't have no dime. What you think? I'm just made of money. Money don't grow on trees. You're like, well, where all that come from? Y'all know that it had nothing to do with that nickel. It had nothing to do with that dime. It's the fact that this is one more thing, or one other person pulling on me, one other person asking me for something, and you feel like you got too much on you. And so I want to let you know, even though I call it that so you could, to get your attention, but I want to let you know you can handle it. Look, somebody say, you can handle it. You know, the truth of the matter is that scripture, that Philippians 4:13, okay, that says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's talking about life situations. I know we try to apply it to everything. You know, I don't know nothing about cars, and I'm not a mechanic, but I can fix this transmission because I can do all things through Christ. That ain't really what that scripture talking about, y'all. Okay. I ain't never flown no plane before, but I got it. I can do it. No, that ain't what that's talking about. It's talking about life. That life is going to throw stuff at you, and you're going to feel like you can't handle it. And in the context of Philippians 4:13, Paul's saying, I know how to make it with money. I know how to make it without money. I know how to make it when everything's going good, and I know how to make it when nothing's going good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One, I think the Amplified said, who infuses me with inner strength, that I'm able to bear up under anything. And so here's the other thing I want to let you all know, is that you got more nerves. I know all y'all think that was your last one. You down your last one. Your child getting on your last one. Look at your neighbor and say, you got some more nerves. You got some more. That was one of my mother's favorite lines. You are getting on my last nerve. I'm here to let you know you got some more. Everybody say, Lord, renew my nerves. Come on, he can renew your strength. He can renew your nerves. Stop all that. I'm down. This is my, on my lap. No. You got some more. Okay? And so life comes at us. And the truth of the matter is sometimes we got to juggle many things at one time. So the Bible tells us stuff like, I quoted it from Romans 12:15. We got to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And those of you who are parents of multiple children, you know that can be on any given day. Okay, you can be on any given day. I have my daughter Kendra. She's very in tune. She was a psychology major. She's very in tune with emotions. She's in tune with her body and her chemicals and stuff. And one day she was up there crying. She was up crying. She said, "I know I ain't supposed to be crying. This is that postpartum stuff. This is my hormones getting back in line." Okay, so she understands what's going on. But sometimes we got something, we don't know what's going on. And stuff is thrown at us, and you're weeping one moment, and you're rejoicing another moment. And sometimes we have to do that with people, particularly those of us who serve other people, who are responsible for other people. We got to weep with those that we weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. In the New Living Translation, that verse, Romans 12:15 says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. The Amplified, that verse says, we rejoice sharing others' joy and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. This week, on one day, I talked to two of our church members. One of them had had grandchildren who got shot. The other one had a child that was just born. I didn't talk to either of them about the other situation. I had to weep with those who weep, and I had to rejoice with those that rejoice. And sometimes life comes at us like that. So I started giving you some practical steps to how we can handle it. Number one, we said you got to understand that certain things are just part of the human experience. Just part of human experience here on earth. Sometimes stop being so hard on yourself and stop being so deep. It's just part of human experience. It's not that you miss God. It's not that you missed the tithe that week. I must have been off about 2 cents. Seemed like the curse got through. You know, sometimes people are looking for what I did wrong, and you're looking to condemn yourself. And can I tell you, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin. So that's what he does. If the Holy Spirit says, now, you didn't do this, you spoke to this person wrong, then you correct that. So, if you have a real relationship with the Lord, you don't have to go around looking, did I sin? No, I'm very serious about that. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Amen. And so you don't have to go around condemning yourself. Well, it's every I got a flat tire. Oh, the devil sure is busy. Lord, the devil's just trying to hinder me, trying to make me lose my job. No, you had a ball tire. That's all. And you should have checked your tires long before today and stopped making it that deep. Amen. You know, and really, sometimes people just try to make everything too deep. I've heard people, the car flipped over and the devil's trying to kill me. No, you're trying to kill yourself. You was going around the curve. Okay, it said 20, and you were doing 50 hydroplaning in the rain. No, it was the blood that spared you. Amen. And so I want to say some things is just part of human existence, human experience. And that's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Common to man. Common to mankind. There are things that happen just because we're human. Just because we live in a fallen world. But nevertheless, no matter what happens, God is faithful. He will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that which you're able. But he will, with the temptation, make your way of escape. But you got to keep reading that you can bear it. So the escape is not always out of it. The escape is being able to stand up in it. It preaches better to say we get out. That's better preaching. But when we really look at the scripture, it says the escape is that we're in it, but it doesn't harm us. Okay? So the escape was that Daniel was in the lion's den, but the lions didn't eat him. The escape was Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Okay? That they were in the fiery furnace, but the fiery furnace didn't burn them. They didn't get out of it, but they were kept through it. Come on, anybody got a witness that God will keep you through some stuff? So understand there's certain things we're just going to go through, but God's going to keep us through it. Second thing we said, you have to stop trying to carry everything yourself. Stop trying to carry everything yourself. Those words, care, cargo, caravan, carry, all have to do with a burden that you're trying to lift or support. And the Bible tells us to stop trying to carry things ourselves. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, casting all of your care. Everybody say all of it. All of your care on him. Watch this. For he careth for you. Now, I want you to hear that a little different. I don't want you to just hear that from scripture. Cast all your care for him because he cares for you like he cares about you. Now, I don't believe that's what the scripture is saying. It's saying stop carrying that because he will carry it for you. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. In other words, God is concerned about what you're concerned about. 1 Peter 5:7, New Living Translation says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And then that verse from the Amplified says, cast in the whole of your care all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. Everybody say once and for all. In other words, if I give it to him once and for all, when the devil tries to bring the thought to me again, when worry tries to come up, I tell worry, we ain't talking about that. I ain't worried about that. I gave that to the Lord. He's handling it. Thoughts are going, no. I reject the worry because I cast that. Come on now. Any of y'all ever quit a job, leave a job, was laid off from a job, fired from a job, and you was always thinking about the job? Even after you left. Come on, that can happen. You know, I still have. It's getting better and better. I've been out of school a long time. Okay? But I still have these thoughts that I missed class. Wake up, Lord Jesus. Like, boy, go back to bed. You ain't been in the class in 40 years. Okay? I have dreams about me missing a flight when I was on my corporate job. Okay? You know, what I'm saying, that's not your concern anymore. You don't work there anymore. Somebody else at your desk got your computer, got your employee number, whatever. Let it go. When you cast your care on the Lord, give it to him and leave it there. Thoughts are going to come, but if you've given it to him, let him handle it. You know, my son's an attorney. A lot of people don't understand this about cases, and because I was a claims adjuster to deal with attorney, a lot of people think your case is like the only case that attorneys have. And nothing drives an attorney, you know, that you call him up. Well, what's going on? Has it settled? When are we going to court? I will let you know. The court will let us know. Can you just, if it's, you've given me the case to handle, let me handle it. Amen. My son Tyler, you know, any little traffic things, he handles all the things. Daniel had some type of traffic, something for his tent on a car that he don't have anymore. That's always telling about this tent. And this boy is so cool. And I was saying, you're going to get in trouble with that tent. That's been their life story. But they're going to keep this tent anyway. Okay. Now they got to turn you help. And so he said, I don't even have. And so something came to the house for him. He said, I said, look like you got this. He said, oh, that's that call. He said, my attorney's handling it. Okay. I want to let you know Jesus is your attorney. And when you have given things to him, stop worrying about it. And that's going to take some practice. But you really got to believe he can handle it better than you. Amen? Now, speaking of that, let me share a story. I've shared this in the past. And let me tell you all what I told noon today when I tell my story. So you heard my stories. Okay, you heard my story. But somebody else hasn't heard my story. So you got to bear with it. All right? It blessed you. It kept you here. It helped you over. Okay, now I need to help somebody else. So don't be talking about I heard that story before. Somebody else didn't hear the story. So just deal with it. Okay? So I told a story about when Marcia and I first got married at my first apartment in 636 Lyons Avenue in Irvington, New Jersey. We had this dog. The dog's named Genesis. Well, the dog wasn't named Genesis. I called the dog Genesis because we found Genesis. We were going to come to our apartment building one night, and the dog was there and was you know, and then we came out, and he was still waiting. And he kept trying to get in with us. We ended up taking the dog, and we called the dog Genesis because we gave the dog a new start. See, y'all ain't deep. We gave the dog a new beginning. So we call the dog Genesis. Well, we had Genesis. Genesis was a cute dog. Genesis, you know, used to get on my nerves a little bit, but because you don't want to play. There was a park right across my house. And so I would let a dog off the leash in the park just to go. And then I'd go. And then she would lay there. And y'all got dogs. They like to play. She would just lay there and wait till I get right up to it. Then take off running. Then the more she did, it would make me mad. But anyway, so one night, I come home, Genesis is throwing up. Genesis is throwing like all kind of tissue and blood. They got clean, and she kept throwing up. And I took Genesis to the vet. And the vet tells us, he says, I'm sorry, whatever's wrong, he says, nothing I can do. Or you can just take her home, make her comfortable. Genesis will most likely be dead by morning. Okay, so, the doctor said he can't do nothing, I can't do nothing. So I'm just going to sleep. That's a whole nother point. Said, go to sleep. Just go to sleep. Okay. So, but I'm like, okay. Well, in the morning we'll throw the dog out the window. I'm sorry. I'm just playing. I know we got some dog love this year. I'm just messing with y'all. Okay. But before I went to bed, I prayed for Genesis. Now some of y'all wouldn't do that. I laid my hands on Genesis, and I told Genesis he was wounded for your... No, I said, no, that ain't going to work today. Okay, by his stripes, you were healed. You too. I prayed for Genesis. Then I remember taking Genesis' paw, sitting out. I took by the paw. I said, lift your paws up, praise the Lord. And I went on to sleep. Genesis stopped throwing up. The next morning, Genesis back to her fresh, bubbly self. She running all around, okay, did not die. And then we kept Genesis at least for another couple of years because we moved to Maine with Genesis and until Genesis ate our drapes one time. And I took Genesis out, and I was mad. I disciplined her, and there was a little place she used to go to the bathroom. And I was so mad. I said, now go on over there. And I said, if you don't want to come back, don't. That's the last time I saw Genesis. Genesis said, well, I don't. Really, I'm assuming that's 30-something years ago. I'm sure Genesis is long dead, okay? But something I learned from that, some of y'all would never pray for a dog. I had never prayed for a dog before, but I learned something from that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm concerned about what you're concerned about. Look at your neighbor and say, God's concerned about what you're concerned about. Now watch this. It may seem petty to your neighbor, But God's concerned about what you're concerned about. It didn't say cast somebody else's cares on him. It said cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. In other words, if you're concerned about it, if you care about it, God cares about it because you care about it. Amen. Another scripture says, I think David said, he will perfect that which concerneth me. In other words, if it concerns me, it concerns him, so I can cast all my care on him. So never think, well, God don't care anything about that. I told y'all this too when we, the brother who, one of the original brothers who started our ministry with us, Bob. Bob used to go fishing. He used to go on these fishing trips every now and then. And Bob made, God, I mean, you know, we were just starting the ministry and we, you know, I'm just believing God for everything, but Bob was doing good. I mean, we're talking back in the mid-90s. I'm sure Bob was making 150 plus. Yeah, I'm just approximating his position here at Unum, which is, you know, formerly Colonial. And I remember saying, I said, Bob, get yourself a boat. And I didn't have a boat. I hadn't even been on Lake Murray at that. But he was into this deep sea. I said, but he said, oh, no. I mean, he was like, oh, no. A boat? Oh, no. I couldn't ask God for a boat. He said, and he just really believed like a boat would like insult God. That's how some of y'all think about some things that you're concerned about. Oh, I couldn't ask God that. If it means something to you, it means something to him. Come on now. God will perfect those things that concern you. And so later on, after I got my first boat and when I got my second boat, I gave him my first boat. And he came, by then he moved to Atlanta, he came here and got, he just couldn't believe, in the world that I'm giving him a boat. God's concerned about what you're concerned about, amen? So the third one I want to give to you tonight. Third one, cast, so we talk about cast, but now we're talking specifically, how do you cast things on the Lord? You cast it in prayer. So you have to be specific in your prayers of what you're giving over to him, okay? Let me show you a scripture. Second Chronicles 7. Is that it? Let me see if that I wasn't planning on going here. But when I said that, let me show you how to. We see here how. I believe it's Jehoshaphat. That's what I'm looking for. No, that's not it. Second Chronicles. First Chronicles. Our eyes are on you. Father, we have no might against this army, but our eyes are on you. Okay, all my Bible scholars, ain't nobody going to help me here. Eyes on thee. Okay, hold on here. That sounds right. Second Chronicles 20. Didn't I say Second Chronicles first? Okay. Here's one. So, Second Chronicles 20th chapter, the three armies come against Jehoshaphat and God's nation. Verse 3 says, and Jehoshaphat feared. I think this fear is talking about a natural. He's naturally scared. He said, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are not you the God of heaven? Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And isn't in your hand their power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Aren't you God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people and you gave them to your seed of Abraham, your friend forever? And then he goes on. I want to drop down here. Let me see. What verse I want to go to? Here we go. Verse 12. And he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? These armies come against us, God. He said, for we have no might against this great army. How many of y'all know it takes humility to acknowledge, I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do. We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but what? Our eyes on you. God, we don't have the power. We don't know what to do. But God, we're coming before you, our eyes on you. Know what he's saying? God, we're giving this over to you. There's nothing we can do. You got to help us. And I tell you, God delights in us trusting him. God delights in us getting to the end of ourselves. When you get to the end of yourself, you realize there's nothing prepared me for this. I don't have enough money. I don't look good enough. I don't know nobody. I don't have the education. I don't have the background. I don't have the experience. But my eyes on you. And so that's how you cast it on him in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. We see this word care and careful again. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Flip careful around. What does that mean? Full of care, right? Be careful for nothing, but in some things, in everything, by prayer and supplication. I'm in Philippians 4 and 6 now. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, so he says, don't you be, the New Living Translation says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He said, don't be full of care. Don't be anxiety stricken. Don't be overcome, overburdened, or overwhelmed about anything. So if you're ever feeling overburdened and overwhelmed, you know you're carrying something that I got to throw over on the Lord. Now, I'm very serious about that. We do not have to be overwhelmed. Overwhelmment may come, but when we start getting overwhelmed, okay, I got to go in prayer. Okay, I got to cast this on the Lord. I got to get this off me and over to him. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now he says prayer, but then he says supplication. Prayer is talking to God. When you can be worshiping and talking to God. You can be singing and talking to God. So prayer is anytime we talk to God. But then he gets very specific, and supplication. Supplication means definite, specific requests. So a lot of people are praying, but you're not supplicating. Here's prayer. Help, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Help, Lord. Send help, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Stop by, God. Come on by. And so God comes in. What you want? You asked me to stop by. I'm here. Now what? You didn't give him an assignment. Prayer is calling. Supplication is letting them know what I need you to do. Come on now. Help ain't help unless the help you need. Prayer and supplication. Definite, specific petitions. We see what Jehoshaphat said, God, I need you to wipe out this army. I need you to stop them from attacking us. I need you to give us victory over them. God, these are the people who you cast out and trying to take the land that you gave us. He was making his case before God. Prayer and supplication, and then he says, with thanksgiving. Prayer, talking to God, specific, definite request, supplication, and then it says, with thanksgiving. Before you get up praying, give God thanks. If you all ever notice, all the ministers who come up here and pray, we pray, we supplicate, we ask God, we intercede. But before we end, we say, so Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that help is on the way. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you, Lord God, that you're doing it right now. Before you get up and even say amen and even in Jesus' name, start giving God thanks that he's already doing it. That's how God tells us to pray. Get it off me, put it on him, address it to him. Cast it on him and thank him that is done. As a matter of fact, that's what the Amplified, that's what the New King, New Living says. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, let me give another example. So when you pray, you got to know God hears you.
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family Inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.